which to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Summer schedule was like most people's, busy with things. And actually took some time off, went up to north this summer. Visit my wife's family up there, and so our August kind of got filled up, and so here we are in the beginning of September. So, kind of a privilege to worship with you this morning. Enjoyed the service. A lot of thoughts given there in Sunday school that we really don't have answers for, do we? We take God's word and we can suppose maybe some attitudes or some ideas, but finally we learn what we can and what God would have us for in putting it there. This morning we want to do that again as we look into the message this morning. Does anybody know what today is, other than Sunday and September 7th? Today is Grandparents' Day. Did you call your grandparents, or did you remind your children to talk to their grandparents? But anyway, it's not a day that gets the same acclaim as Mother's Day or Father's Day. Has been, I think, in the on the record since 1978. Understand that correctly. President Jimmy Carter signed it into a national holiday, I guess you could call it, although it's not a federal holiday like a lot of holidays are, but a national commemoration. It's Grandparents' Day. In thinking of Grandparents' Day, I had to think about there's a couple of different aspects we could look at. One is respect for the elderly, and that kind of crossed my mind, but I want to look at a little different today. In thinking of grandparents, we often think of maybe an older, retired person, right? I've just been a grandfather for a couple of years, and I'm nowhere near being old or retired, so that kind of takes that myth away, but it is something we often think about as we grow older and we think of our grandparents, we think of elderly people and maybe retired. My grandpa, I don't remember. There's the one who passed away when I was young. My grandpa's trite. He was a farmer, but he was off the farm for as long as I could remember. He had retired from farming, and one of his sons, I think, took over, but that's kind of our thought. The society we live in places a lot of emphasis on retirement. I remember one of our truck drivers that brought doors in, he just looked forward to the day he could retire. And he was saving up. He was often talking about how his IRA or his 401 was doing and whether he would be able to retire when he turned 63 or whether he'd have to wait till he was 65. And it was on his mind a lot. And so they plan ahead and they try to build that up and get it ready so that they can enjoy life. They often talk about just doing what I want to, you know. And so, it's kind of a driving force in their thinking is to make sure I save so that when I hit 65, well, I can just leave it all and just go fishing or just get up when I want, just whatever. They look forward to that. But oftentimes when they get there, they find out that, in talking with different of our customers, elderly people who are maybe building another house, and yeah, they retired, but then it wasn't what they thought it would be. It was so boring, you know, just there's nothing to do. And others who plan ahead, they say, they have maybe a different story. They say, well, I'm busier now than I ever was, because now I have time to work around the house, and I see all these things that I've been putting off. And so I'm just busy from morning to night. But it goes to show that we need purpose, and we need work to feel the satisfaction and fulfillment in life. God has that kind of built into us. It's not good for us just to sit around. We soon find boredom, and we don't feel the satisfaction in life that we would had we been busy. And so we want to look at what I've entitled Grandpa's Retirement Fund. Grandpa's Retirement Fund. God has a higher plan in life for his children. He has a retirement plan that we can contribute to throughout life that has benefits that are not threatened by a shortage of funds or government policies. That's one thing the truck driver is always worried about. You know, well, if this goes into effect, well, my earnings are, it takes a direct hit. But in God's retirement, we don't have to worry about something or taking a direct hit because he was unable to meet the need. So, while we may not always be employed at a place of business, we need to stay busy and working in the kingdom of God until he calls us into retirement. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 is kind of the theme verse for this morning's message. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We want to look at these verses, specifically verse 18 gives us four different aspects of laying up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come. And so we want to look not at the financial aspects of it, but the practical aspects of contributing to your HRA, your heavenly retirement account. Somewhere in life, the focus changes on what can I get out of life to am I prepared for the future. I don't know if you older people notice that at all, but as a teenager, it's more like, well, that looks fun, that looks profitable, that looks, you know, and it's more like, what can I get out of this? But somewhere in life, you start thinking about that not so much. But what now? You know, what am I prepared for the future? Am I prepared? Do I have enough to live on? Should something happen, or should I lose my job? Am I able to take care of my family with what I have? So you start thinking in different terms. Your focus changes, not so much about the here and now, but the future. Am I ready? The earlier we start preparing for the future, the surer our future comes. Let's not wait until we get old to start contributing to our heavenly retirement account. Just like if you're blowing all your money now, you're not gonna be able to save much either when you get older. If my bank account never gets anything saved in it now, when I turn 40 or 50, it's likely that trend is going to continue. And that's the same way in kingdom work. If I am living for self now, when I get older, that is likely not going to change without a drastic change of heart. But even then, it's going to be hard to focus on kingdom work. And so this morning's message is not necessarily toward the grandparents. I trust that our grandparents here have been contributing to that HRA. But I want to encourage you as younger people to consider that, just like your financial advisors would tell you to, would strongly urge you to consider an IRA or a 401k or whatever retirement accounts there are out there. You need to think about the spiritual aspect of this and start contributing well today. So, with that in mind, let's look at some of the practical ways that we can contribute. And we're going to look some at some examples of these to kind of help us to understand also how these are contributing to our HRA. Verse 18, we read there in 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. I'll look at that in 4 points this morning. The first one then would be that they do good. And Paul here is urging Timothy to teach these things to the people. He says, don't trust in your bank account, but trust in God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Remember, the bank account can fail. And so the first thing he says to charge them to do is that they do good. First example is Jehoiada back in 2 Chronicles 24:15-16 talks about Jehoiada's death. It says, but he waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. And if you back up in that story, you read of Jehoiada's life as a high priest, I believe, and he was instrumental in setting up King Joash as king. And part of what he did there was overthrow Queen Athaliah because of her wicked reign, and set up King Joash as king, the rightful king. And his zeal for God carried out throughout his life. And King Joash actually followed up with that in proclaiming revival throughout Israel and doing away with the Baal worship. And they did good until Jehoiada's death anyway. But the people so admired, admired Jehoiada's zeal for God that they actually buried him in the city of, it says they buried him in the city of David among the kings. He has his burial grounds was there with the kings of Israel because of the good that he had done. What is our zeal for God do for those around us? Is it one that as Jehoiada's was, does it gain respect among God's people? Is it, do they see my zeal? Is it one that encourages others to work on toward a revival in their lives, revival in our churches, in our homes? Another example of this would be Moses. Moses was 120 when he died. And it says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was quite a instrumental leader as we read the life of Moses. And there's much encouragement we get from Moses' life as we think of him as a leader and his zeal. And especially when the people were obstinate and sinning, and God says, I'm going to do away with them, Moses, and I'll just raise up seed out of you. Moses, no, God, what would that do to your name? What would that do to the heathen as they see that you brought them out of Egypt? And he pled with God. And Moses' life was one of sacrifice and one of really caring for the people of God. And we know that Moses had his faults. He was kept back from entering the promised land because of his act of disobedience there and smiting the rock at that time. But his very, as the children of Israel looked on Moses' life years later, even in the New Testament, Moses did this for us. They kind of gave that to Jesus. Moses gave us bread to eat. What have you given? And so there's, it's the good that Moses did to the children of Israel far outlived his life. Third one is another Old Testament, and that is Samuel. I had to think about Samuel's history, caring for the children of Israel. And right up to the end, when they demanded a king, he rehearsed his care for Israel. And he says, you know, I pray for you every day, and I only want you to prosper, in my words, is what he was telling them. But when he died, it says that all Israel gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house in Ramah. So these were three of Israel's leaders that really cared for the people. And while in Jehoiada it says that he had done good, I think we can gather from the life of Samuel and Moses as well, so that they had done good in Israel. And we see these three faithful men faithfully caring for their flock, for their people that God had given them care over. There's likely people in our lifetime that we look up to. As you study church history, there are people who stand out as caring for the church and caring for God's people, caring for that God's word would go forth. We looked at Paul this morning in the lesson, our Sunday school lesson. Peter enters in later in Acts, or earlier in Acts, actually. We've studied the life of Peter, and those were people who really cared for the church and were instrumental in the early church. And we go down through church history, we find many people who did good to the flock of God, who did good to the children of God. And Galatians 6, 9, and 10 tells us to do that as well. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And so Paul is writing to the Galatians there. He says, don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't think it's in vain. Don't think it's something that's going to not make an impact. But he says, you will reap if you faint not, if you don't give up. And sometimes, and we see that in the life of the leaders that God has given there, the examples that I gave, they had their low times at times, wondering if it was worth it, I'm sure. And God faithfully points that out in different other accounts of times when they despaired. I think of Elijah and Elisha, those stories where they went out and they just wondered if it was worthwhile. But God encouraged them to continue on, and he encourages us to continue on. And that is one way to make deposits into this retirement account. Let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, for he that will see life, will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And so among that list of things, Peter is telling us, if you want to see, have a good life and see good days, among that list is to do good and let him seek peace and ensue it. And so let's take Paul's words to heart there, to if we want to, instead of laying up in store on this earth, let us be rich in, let us do good. And the next one is to be rich in good works. And sometimes that maybe seems a little bit, maybe we're a little afraid to push that too far because we don't want to receive praise. But Jesus tells us to in the Sermon on the Mount, we'll look at those verses, I think, in closing there in Matthew 6. But there are many examples of those who are rich in good works. Just a few in the New Testament there. We think of Dorcas, Tabitha, the lady there in Joppa. It says in Acts 9:36, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And as you know the story, you know, and you remember how she passed away, and all these ladies that were widows, and they brought these clothes and blankets and things that she had made, and they mourned it. But she was actually gone. It says that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And Peter, as he was directed of God, actually brought her back to life there, and she could continue on doing good works and alms deeds. 1 Timothy 5:9-10. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And I think as we look at that list, Paul is directly giving that toward taking these widows into the church, but I think it's a good admonition for each of us as we think of our work in the church and our contribution to the church. It says she's reported of good works, lodged strangers, washed saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work. And that's quite a list of commendation for somebody as we think of taking in members. You know, if that could be said of us as members, we would have a very good, caring church, one that shouldn't be needy. We find that everything covered there as far as good people taken care of. And we find that, I think also, as we think of the, I was part of the calling of the deacons there, in the early church of Acts. There were some who were not being taken care of, and that was part of the deacon's work, was to make sure that people were taken care of. And he was, I don't think it specifically mentions that in the qualifications as far as following good works, but that is alluded to, full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and taking care of being able to take care of his family and the church. Jesus said there in Matthew 25, when he talks about separating the sheep from the goats, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And there we find this whole thought of doing good to others, helping others out. And Jesus said, if you've done it unto the one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Just a few more verses encouraging us in this way. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. God's grace is what's evident in our lives, abounding in us, so that we can abound unto every good work. Matter of fact, that is God's calling for us, as we see in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is God's purpose in our salvation, is that we would, we are created unto good works. God has before ordained. That was God's purpose in saving us, that we could go out and do these things, be of a help to others. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. And Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so do these good works, do we have any doubt as to what should be coming out of our lives as we think of living for Christ and working in his kingdom? He desires of us that we would be rich in good works. Number 3, willing to distribute, or ready to distribute. And that is a good example of that. We could look at Acts 2:44-45. And all they that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And in chapter 4, we find again, neither was there any among them that lacked, For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Ready to distribute. Do what? How do we view the things that we have? How do we view our bank account? Is that untouchable? Is that only for us? Well, according to the example of the early church, it was touchable. As they saw other people had need, they were willing to give, and they were willing to sacrifice. And the effect was that there was no one that lacked. So we find not a church that is where you got the rich and then the poor, as James talks about, where there was actually there was a division there where they were doting on the rich and having the poor sit back there. But in the early church, it says there was none that lacked. Those who had lands or houses, they sold it, and they brought those things, and distribution was made according as he had need. And so they recognized that there were people being brought into the church who were very poor, all different backgrounds. And as they joined together in the body of Christ, these that were well off recognized the importance of seeing to the needs of those who were less well off, those who were poor and needy. And it was a very blending of backgrounds that, and as they were willing to distribute, ready to distribute to the needs, it made it a very, could we say, appealing gospel to many as they saw people working together for the common good of each one. There is great blessing in sharing with others in time of need, and we were recipients of that from time to time ourselves as we think of our work project and the many people who came in and sacrificed of their time in helping out there, and not only in that, some who maybe didn't show up sent in a little bit. You know, here's some to help out. And it was a blessing as we saw the project go forward. And that's not the only time. We think of our Brotherhood Assistance program where we take offerings toward it. And that is a time when we can sacrifice some of ours. Let's not think that our, you know, well, that's designated for this, and the need is great, but, you know, I can't really do it because I already had that money designated for this or this project or that. That would hurt my retirement. Let's be willing to, ready to distribute. God has blessed us with these finances. And it's not only in finances. I mentioned about our work project, and y'all have got one coming up where people will sacrifice. People will be giving of time and effort. And that is a good way to be a blessing to help in the church, and ready to distribute where we can. Distribute to work projects, meal preparations. There's just a lot that goes into work projects. There's meals to be done, and it's not only in work projects. There's special meetings. There's if we think of meal schedules for new mothers, and just a lot of different areas that we can distribute. And as Jesus said, that is laying up for yourselves those treasures in heaven. Acts 20:35, Paul gives himself as an example. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul was kind of giving himself as an example of how he worked among them, he labored among them, and to the Corinthians he even held a job as he ministered to their needs so that they he wouldn't be chargeable to them, but yet he was ready to spend and be spent, we sometimes say, for the work of the gospel. And so that is a good way to contribute to your HRA, and that is ready to distribute. Use what you can. Give what you can for the work of the church. And the last one there, willing to communicate. Aquila and Priscilla are good examples of this in Acts 18, 24 to 26. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here we find somebody, this couple who I believe had traveled with Paul or spent time with Paul and were Christians for a while, I would take it. But yet this young man came, and he was an eloquent speaker, and he was a very influential speaker, but he didn't know the gospel in its fullness. He understood only the baptism of John. And so they took him aside and they instructed him. They were willing to communicate. They were willing to give of their time to help this young man perfect his message for Christ, perfect his plan of, his message of salvation. And I believe it took time on their part as they heard him speak and understood where he was coming from and understood that he needed more teaching. And sometimes, we don't want to take time to instruct those. We pass them off and say, well, somebody, they need to study their Bible a little better and leave it up to them to perfect it. But maybe what they need is Aquila and Priscilla to take them aside and to expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Paul was willing to do that as well. In Galatians 2:1, he says, but when Peter was come, I withstood him to the face because he was to blame. And we find there that Peter was actually, we would say maybe being a little two-faced. He was eating with the Gentiles, and then when the Jews came around, then he kind of got carried away and avoided the Gentiles. And Paul said that even Barnabas was led away with some of this. And Paul took him aside, and he says he withstood him to the face. I don't know how bold Paul was or how heated this conversation got. Paul was willing to do this because he understood the implications could turn people away from Christ. And that was Paul's desire, was that all would come to Christ. In Galatians 6, then, he tells us the first six verses, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So basically the first and the last verses are the ones that specifically speak to what we're talking about this morning, and that is willing to communicate. If you see somebody indulging in sin or see somebody going away from the truth, we need to reach out to that person. We need to be willing to confront or to take them aside and explain to them the direction they're headed. And don't just hope that they do better. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We don't come across as having the answers or you need to listen to me now, because no, he says, you go in the spirit of meekness. You could be tempted. You could be the one that somebody needs to approach sometime. And we recognize that. Our own tendencies, our own carnal nature at times needs to be confronted as well. But he says, don't be afraid to go out if you see somebody and try to restore that person. And then the last verse, kind of an interesting, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him which teacheth. And that is to understand, I take that as understand that I don't always have the answers. I need to reach out sometimes to him that can teach me as well. Don't think that we have all the answers. We bear one another's burdens, but yet we're willing to bear our own burdens as well. It's kind of a helping where you can, but taking responsibility for yourself and where you can. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to reach out when you're struggling. Don't be afraid to communicate with those who can help us. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do good and communicate. Let's turn over to Matthew 5:6 as we think about the importance of these. God gives us, or Jesus gave direction in this as well as he Matthew 5 written down. I have Matthew 6. We'll go back to Matthew 5, starting at verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And Jesus here is saying, don't be afraid to go out and help. Don't be afraid to let your light shine. He says that's how people can see God's work in your life. We don't do it for our glory, just like the candle does. It's not sitting there for its own glory, but it is there for light. It is there to draw other, to expose the not to expose the darkness, but to counter the darkness, to drive away the darkness. And he says, to let our light shine. So as people look into our lives, they can see God at work in our lives. And then in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so that is kind of the thrust of the message this morning. All of us, I think, have decent bank accounts. Probably most of us do anyway. And maybe we recognize areas financially where we've made mistakes and we say, well, it's not where it should be, but I'm going to work on that end. How is it in our spiritual lives? And that is what Paul's admonition to Timothy was, to encourage those people. Don't just think of the financial aspects of life. Don't just think of the physical aspect, but put your focus on the spiritual aspects of life. Is my bank account in heaven similar to my earthly bank account? Is it rich or is it very poor? Do we wonder whether it's going to be enough? We have the time to change that. Jesus said, don't put your trust in the earthly things. And Paul told us that as well. Don't trust in the earthly riches. That can fail us. You know, one thing in the stock market can send an IRA into a downward spin and leave people wondering if they have enough now. But not so when we're investing in God's kingdom, when we're busy in God's kingdom. God takes note of that. God says that that's laying up treasures in heaven. There's no moth, no rust, no thieves can get to that, as we focus on laying up in store for the time to come in the kingdom work. So, what is Grandpa's retirement fund? Grandpa's retirement fund, I think, should be his legacy. What Paul said to Timothy here, that he did good, he was rich in good works, he did good, he was rich in good works, he was ready to distribute, he was always there to talk when I needed him, and he says if that's the case, he has laid up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So you're not too young to get started on that retirement fund. You can start on that right now, so that when the time comes, God will call you home as a faithful servant of His. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy, your grace that is so abundant to us each day. Thank you for your love that you love us. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning, for the freedom we have to do this. Pray that you continue to grant these freedoms according to your will. And may we be faithful and in meeting together, encouraging each other, lifting each other up. Lord, as we thank you for the faithful grandparents here who are dedicated their lives to serving you and to guiding and teaching. And just pray, Lord, that you would bless them richly for their work and labor of love among us. And may each of us as younger, and especially the youth, may they also catch that zeal, that vision of service for you, of laboring for you, of laying up in store these riches in heaven, these treasures in heaven, and may each one faithfully contribute and joyfully give of their time for your work, reaching out to others. So we pray your blessing on the congregation here as they minister to the needs of the community, also for the work of Gateswood as it goes forth. May your blessing rest upon it. Grant wisdom, direction, and assistance as they need it. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.